Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Now it's time for the last word with Lawrence O'Donnell. Good evening, Lawrence.
Good evening, Alex. And of course, there's video of Tacopina all over the World Wide Web.
Yes.
A couple of years ago saying, well, hey, it sounds like what Michael Cohen did is a pretty serious crime with Donald Trump. I guess that's video Donald Trump didn't see before hiring him.
Hiring Joe Tacopina. And now Alvin Bragg has the communications between Stormy Daniels and Joe Tacopina, which could literally take Joe Tacopina off of this case in terms of Trump's defense.
And Alex, during your hour, there's been a kind of huge development in Washington and Jack Smith's investigation with the grand jury, this ultra fast-tracked appeal process going on. Luckily, we've got Andrew Weissman here and others to discuss it. And later in the hour, because I'm wondering how Donald Trump is feeling tonight, and because everyone who works for Donald Trump is a liar for Donald Trump, I don't rely on what the Trump staff says, like the New York Times does, about how Donald Trump is feeling. I'm going to ask Mary Trump tonight how her uncle is feeling as they close in on him in prosecutors' offices all over the country.
That, Lawrence, is called a deep cut and a must-watch segment. I will be tuning in, my friend.
Thank you, Alex.
See ya.
Thank you. Well, as I said, we have some breaking news about legal matters involving Donald Trump, which involve federal appeals court procedural deadlines. Unlike any we have ever seen, we have an ultra-high-speed appeal of a ruling ordering one of Donald Trump's lawyers to testify to Special Prosecutor Jack Smith's grand jury. The Trump lawyers have a filing deadline of midnight tonight in the Federal Appeals Court in Washington, D.C. And Jack Smith has a response deadline of 6 hours later, of 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. That's happening right now tonight. And so the biggest legal development in the criminal investigations of Donald Trump did not happen in Manhattan today, as Donald Trump incorrectly predicted on Saturday. Donald Trump was not charged with crimes today by the Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, as Donald Trump predicted he would be on Saturday. Also, there were virtually no protests against prosecutions of Donald Trump anywhere today, even though on Saturday, Donald Trump begged his supporters to get out there and protest what he said would be his arrest today in Manhattan. Protesters were out in Manhattan today, right in front of Trump Tower, demanding that Donald Trump be prosecuted for everything. More people turned out in Manhattan today to demand Donald Trump be prosecuted than the total number of people who have turned out in the entire country to protest Donald Trump being prosecuted. It was the biggest protest since 2019 in Los Angeles today, by teachers and workers in the Los Angeles school district who haven't had a public protest like that since 2019. So, yes, there was protest in America today, but not to support Donald Trump against the prosecutors who are closing in on him. And the worst legal news that Donald Trump is living with at this very hour tonight is from Special Prosecutor Jack Smith's grand jury in Washington, D.C., investigating Donald Trump's possession of government documents, including classified documents, after leaving office. ABC News has delivered the most important beginning part of the breaking news of the night. Under the headline, Special Counsel claims Trump deliberately misled his attorneys about classified documents. ABC News reports prosecutors in the Special Counsel's office have presented compelling preliminary evidence that former President Donald Trump knowingly and deliberately misled his own attorneys about his retention of classified materials after leaving office, a former top federal judge wrote Friday in a sealed filing, according to sources who described its contents to ABC News. Federal Judge Beryl Howell, in her role as chief judge of the district court in Washington, D.C., had been supervising Jack Smith's investigation, grand jury investigation, until Friday, when her term as chief judge came to an end. The new chief judge is James Boasberg, who, like Judge Howell, was appointed by President Obama. ABC News reports that Jack Smith's office presented evidence to Judge Howell, quote, showing that the former president had committed criminal violations, according to the sources, and that attorney-client privileges invoked by two of his lawyers could therefore be pierced. ABC News is reporting that Judge Howell ordered Trump lawyer Evan Corcoran to testify to the grand jury without the protection of the attorney-client privilege, and that Judge Howell, quote, also ordered Corcoran to hand over a number of records tied to what Howell described as Trump's alleged criminal scheme, echoing prosecutors. Those records include handwritten notes, invoices, and transcriptions of personal audio recordings. Howell agreed prosecutors made a sufficient showing that on its face would appear to show Trump committed crimes. ABC went on to report, quote, prosecutors showed sufficient evidence that Trump intentionally concealed the existence of additional classified documents from Corcoran, sources said, putting Corcoran in an unwitting position to deceive the government. Evan Corcoran wrote a sworn statement signed by another Trump lawyer, which they gave to the Justice Department, in effect swearing under oath that they had turned over all of the government documents and classified documents in Donald Trump's possession. But when the FBI later executed a search warrant, they found more than 100 additional documents that were marked classified, including a classified document in Donald Trump's desk. After Trump lawyers swore under oath to the Justice Department that there were no more classified documents in Donald Trump's possession, the FBI actually found classified documents in his desk. If Donald Trump lied to Evan Corcoran and other lawyers working for him about his possession of those documents, then that is a very strong case of obstruction of justice against Donald Trump. The breaking news of the last hour reported by Politico is that Judge Howell's ruling is on an ultra-fast-track appeal schedule with a three-judge panel of the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals, with the Trump lawyers facing a midnight deadline for their filing and Jack Smith facing a 6 a.m. response deadline to the Trump attorney's filing. To many, that case involving the illegal possession of classified documents appears to be a more serious case than the Manhattan case about paying off a porn star to purchase her silence about one very brief sexual experience she claims she had with Donald Trump in a hotel room 4 months after the birth of his last child. But is it? Is it a more important case? If Donald Trump committed crimes with government documents, he committed those crimes after being president of the United States. The crimes Donald Trump allegedly committed in purchasing the temporary silence of Stormy Daniels were crimes that enabled Donald Trump to win the presidency. If Stormy Daniels had told her story about sex with Donald Trump 3 weeks before the presidential election, when she was ready to tell her story publicly, Donald Trump probably would not have won the Electoral College. Michael Cohen, acting on Donald Trump's behalf and at his direction, according to the federal prosecutors who prosecuted Michael Cohen, purchased Stormy Daniels' silence 1 day after this became public.
You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the...
Donald Trump's presidential campaign was in free fall in the 24 hours after that video became public. Republicans who had endorsed Donald Trump withdrew their endorsements that very night. Some of them called on Donald Trump to quit the presidential campaign and stop disgracing the Republican Party. Donald Trump, for the first time in his public life, was cornered into sounding apologetic and begging his voters to forgive what they heard him say in that Access Hollywood video. But Donald Trump hung in there.
I pledge to be a better man tomorrow and will never, ever let you down.
Imagine if the day after Donald Trump said that, Stormy Daniels had gone on television and said this.
I was like, someone should take that magazine and spank you with it. And I'll never forget the look on his face. And he was like,
what was the look?
Just, I don't think anyone's ever spoken to him like that, especially, you know, a young woman who looked like me. And I said, you know, give me that. And he, I just remember him going, you wouldn't. Hand it over. And so he did. And I was like, turn around, drop him.
You told Donald Trump to turn around and take off his pants?
Yes.
And did he?
Yes. So he turned around and pulled his pants down a little. You know, he had underwear on and stuff. And I just gave him a couple swats.
By the time Stormy Daniels went public on 60 Minutes, Donald Trump was already president. The federal prosecutors who sent Michael Cohen to prison for facilitating the Stormy Daniels hush money conspiracy said that Michael Cohen committed his crimes in coordination with and at the direction of Individual One. Individual One was, of course, Donald Trump. The prosecutors said the conspiracy was designed to, quote, affect the presidential election. Without the crimes Michael Cohen committed in coordination with and at the direction of Donald Trump to silence Stormy Daniels, this country and the world might never have had to endure 4 years of a Donald Trump presidency. Something to keep in mind when you're trying to decide which of the criminal investigations and possible prosecutions of Donald Trump is the most important. Leading off our discussion tonight is Charles Coleman, a former federal prosecutor and former senior assistant district attorney in Brooklyn, New York. He is now a civil rights attorney and an MSNBC legal analyst. Also with us, Andrew Weissman, former FBI general counsel and former chief of the criminal division in the Eastern District of New York. He is a professor of practice at NYU Law School and an MSNBC legal analyst. Andrew Weissman's co-authored piece in the New York Times today is titled, Make No Mistake, the Investigation of Donald Trump and the Stormy Daniels Scheme is Serious. Andrew Weissman, I want to begin with the breaking news of the night. I saw Neil Katyal, an appeals process expert, tweeting tonight that he's not sure he's ever seen a midnight deadline followed by a 6 a.m. deadline in an appeal like this. What is your sense of what is happening in that situation?
There's no question this is an extremely tight deadline. This relates to the ruling that Judge Howell issued on Friday saying that Evan Corcoran needs to testify and that the documents that he has are not privileged. That if you are a client and you try to commit a crime using your lawyer, whether the lawyer is witting or unwitting, there is no attorney-client privilege in that context. That is a very unassailable ruling. But usually people are allowed to appeal and to say, to get a second bite at the apple to see whether an appellate panel will agree with that. And here the appellate panel has said, yes, you can specify exactly what documents you think should not be turned over, but you have until midnight tonight. The government, as you said, has until 6 a.m. So I expect that we could have a ruling even tomorrow. One thing this does is it keeps any grand jury appearance moving along very rapidly. There is law that when you have a grand jury, the courts are supposed to be quite rapid in keeping the grand jury process moving, because that is what allows the criminal justice system to hold people to account and to either charge people or to find that they shouldn't be charged. So this is in keeping with that body of law, but I totally agree with Neil. I've never seen something quite this quick. But again, I think Judge Howell is on very strong grounds here in terms of the ruling.
Charles, another thing about those deadlines, literally like 6-hour deadlines, would seem to suggest that the appeals court thinks This is a relatively simple matter, a pretty simple matter at this particular decision-making stage.
Yes, Lawrence, I do agree with that. I think that the general consensus is that this should be a very straightforward issue with a very straightforward answer from both parties. I also think that in some respects, it is a nod to the level of resources that the appeals court believes both sides have at their disposal. Donald Trump with his team of lawyers and however many attorneys he has working for them in terms of their appeal, their expectation is that they're going to have something about midnight. And of course, with Jack Smith and DOJ, the expectation there is that the assistant USAs who are working on the case along with Jack Smith will be able to respond to whatever the narrow issue is and whatever the simple question is by 6 a.m. And so I do think that that is a part of why you see this accelerated schedule from the judge in its order.
Andrew, it also seems that that this three-judge panel is saying to the Trump lawyers, and you know, who knows how much they're consuming of what Trump lawyers are doing in other cases, like in Georgia, where they're obviously trying to delay with this filing they did yesterday. They seem to be saying to the Trump lawyers, do not expect that your delay tactics that we have seen you try to use in every jurisdiction in the country, do not expect them to work here. We're going to move this as fast as we possibly can. And what is the import of Evan Corcoran's testimony, assuming it is going to go forward?
So I totally agree with you that this is a court saying we're not putting up with any of that monkey business. We dictate the time schedule, not you. I think your second question goes to the heart of the matter, which is that if the reporting is correct, that Mr. Corcoran is going to say, I was the one who was misled by Donald Trump. I put in that certification and I drafted it based on what he told me. I did not know it was false, but it contained false information because that's what I learned from my client, Donald Trump. This is basically game over. That is incredibly strong evidence of obstruction of justice. It is a crime to lie to the government, whether you do it directly or whether you do it through your counsel. That is exactly what happened with Paul Manafort and Rick Gates. The judge, and this is Judge Howell, issued the exact same ruling. We had the exact same result. We had a lawyer who was unwitting saying, I learned this false information from my clients, and we immediately charged false statements and obstruction of justice and knew that we had a rock solid case. This could be exactly the same thing that happens if the reporting is correct, that that is what Mr. Corcoran's going to say. It appears he may also have contemporaneous notes. It is not unusual for a defense lawyer to keep those notes, especially if you are representing somebody like Donald Trump. We know that Don McGahn and people in the White House did exactly that because they knew they needed to have a record with him that they couldn't later be confronted by saying that's not what happened. So I'd be highly surprised if Mr. Corcoran did not write down exactly what he had been told.
Yeah, and Charles Colvin, we had already seen some reports indicating that notes, that Corcoran's notes were part of what would be made available to Jack Smith. But in tonight's reporting, there is the phrase audio recordings. That is always something that when you see in the possible mix of evidence really jumps out, especially in anything involving Donald Trump. The possibilities of audio recordings, possibly even of Donald Trump, possibly phone calls about this matter, discussions with him. That's what's possible in the mix of what we're looking at tonight.
That's correct. And I think that it goes to show how tenuous the relationship that Donald Trump has had with the attorneys that he has retained to represent him. I think that they are very clear that the partner that they're dancing with is not one to be trusted. And so in many respects, many of the lawyers that he has dealt with have made it a point to make sure that their I's are dotted and their T's are crossed by checking up and making sure that their notes, their recordings, all of those things are in order for a time such as this. Unfortunately, it does appear that now that they've been misled, this attorney is still going to have to go before the grand jury and explain what was told to him by his client in hopes of basically dodging a bullet and hoping that the accountability lands where it's supposed to, which is on the doorstep of Donald Trump.
Andrew, I remember when we discovered that the that sworn statement, basically, that Evan Corcoran was part of handing over to the FBI. When we discovered that that turned out to be completely untrue, I can remember, and you know, it basically discovering it kind of live in this program, and all of us thinking, well, he can't be Trump's lawyer anymore. He has to immediately go get a criminal defense lawyer and take care of himself. And yet he has tried to hang in there as Donald Trump's lawyer all the way up to now. Is this the end of his capacity to serve as a Donald Trump defense counsel in this case?
He would be unlikely to be able to be what's called counsel of record if there were to be a case involving the Mar-a-Lago documents, involving obstruction and the retention of classified documents. You cannot be a lawyer and a witness, to state the obvious. So he would not be able to do that. Until such time that there is a charge, he could still represent Donald Trump, because Donald Trump could decide, even though he knows there's conflicts, that he is going to still use him as counsel. But I think that anybody in Mr. Corcoran's position, I think, would take the better part of valor and say, I really can't ethically do that. But there's nothing the government right now could do about it. But I highly doubt that he will remain as counsel of record if there are charges brought.
And Charles Coleman, what about Donald Trump? What about the client who has discovered that this is the state of play for one of his criminal defense lawyers in the documents case? What does he want? What does Donald Trump want his future relationship with this lawyer to be?
Well, you know, Lawrence, I've said for a very long time, there are two people in the world you should never lie to. One is your mother and the other is your attorney. And Donald Trump seems to disregard the latter of the latter part of that rule at all points. In this situation, he definitely does not want this attorney, Mr. Corcoran, to go forward before the grand jury. But it appears as though, barring some sort of miraculous victory on appeal, that's still likely to happen. At that point, I cannot see Donald Trump still wanting, as a client, to have this person represent him, as Andrew said, as counsel of record. It's going to be an issue where I would imagine he's going to move to then have him disqualified if Jack Smith doesn't do it first.
Charles Coleman and Andrew Weissman, thank you both very much for joining us on this breaking news reporting. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Coming up, Kevin McCarthy said today that he's not defending Donald Trump right before he defended Donald Trump. Congressman Adam Schiff will join us next.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
So it's not here that we're coming to defend President Trump. What we're coming to defend is equal justice in America.
That was Kevin McCarthy not defending Donald Trump today. But because it was Kevin McCarthy, he then defended Donald Trump's hush money payment to Stephanie Clifford, the actress known as Stormy Daniels.
This was personal money?
No, it wasn't. The money came from the Trump business and the business records that were falsified to label that money, which is a crime according to New York law. Kevin McCarthy then tried to insult Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg this way.
So what we see before us is a political game being played by a local. Look, just as this isn't New York City. This is just the Manhattan. This is just the borough DA.
Yeah. Right. Alvin Bragg is not the district attorney for the entire city of New York because the biggest city in America actually has five different district attorneys. Unlike, say, Fresno, the biggest city in Kevin McCarthy's congressional district, Alvin Bragg is the district attorney for 1.6 million people. That is more than double the number of people Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy represents in his Central California district. And it is more people than live in nine states in the United States of America. Joining us now is Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff of California. He served on the January 6th Select Committee and was the lead impeachment manager for the first impeachment trial of Donald Trump. He is currently a candidate for United States Senate in California. Congressman Schiff, that was Kevin McCarthy not defending Donald Trump today in his version of not defending Donald Trump. But I imagine you are going to be dealing with this on a daily basis now as the defendant Trump situation develops around the country.
Well, absolutely. And of course, Lawrence, you're right. There was Kevin McCarthy saying, I'm not defending him, but let me defend him. And more than just him defending him on that stage, he has directed the chair of the Judiciary Committee, Jim Jordan, to essentially investigate the Manhattan District Attorney. Jordan and other Republican chairs have written to the DA demanding documents, demanding testimony. They are acting like Donald Trump's criminal defense lawyers, except they also have the subpoena power, which makes them dangerous. And to hear Kevin McCarthy also, I have to say, it was really more than I could stomach. Talk about equal justice. As you pointed out, what he's really interested in is the most unequal justice, in which the Republican Party leader, Donald Trump, gets a pass for any kind of criminal activity. As you mentioned, if the indictment charging Michael Cohen identified individual one, otherwise known as Donald Trump, as directing the campaign fraud scheme involving that hush money to the porn star, then what's the argument that the guy that was directed has to go to jail, Michael Cohen, but the guy who did the directing gets a pass? That's not equal justice. But apparently McCarthy must think that, well, everybody should be able to pay off porn stars and hide it when they're running for office or some such nonsense. But this is Kevin McCarthy once again throwing all in with Donald Trump, defending him with the indefensible.
Congressman Schiff, I fully honor your outrage at the Republicans' abuse of their positions as chairman of committees who are now pretending. They are pretending to have jurisdiction over the Manhattan district attorney. I am just jaded enough and live far enough outside of the House of Representatives that I look at it as an utter absurdity. There will not ever be a subpoena that they send to the Manhattan district attorney that will be responded to in any way, not for documents, not for testimony, not for anything. Absolutely nothing will happen by what they're doing. But so that's my view of it. But I agree that it is important to keep the notion of the ideal of what these committees are supposed to do in front of Americans to understand just how wild and out of control this kind of behavior is.
It's important to set a baseline and to help, share with the country just how dangerous and absurd this is, just how much this is a continuation of the Trump playbook of investigate the investigators, discredit the investigation when there's a legitimate investigation or prosecution of a criminal or a potential criminal and he's a member of their party or their party leader. It is, in their view, by definition, somehow illegitimate. That's not how the rule of law works. If we're going to be a nation of laws, we can be no respecter of persons. That means that the law has to apply equally to everyone. And what they really want is the unequal application of the law. They want immunity for their party leader. They're positing without any evidence that this is somehow a political prosecution. They don't know anything about what the witnesses testified before in the grand jury. Look, if the Manhattan grand jury believes there's probable cause to believe Donald Trump committed a crime and prosecutors believe they can prove that crime, it is their obligation to go forward. One thing we have seen with Donald Trump is if you do not hold him accountable, he will go on to do worse and worse and worse. It's a dangerous idea in the abstract. It's even more dangerous in the concrete case of Donald Trump. to set a different standard for former presidents.
Well, the Stormy Daniels case is the perfect example of what you're talking about. If not held accountable, he'll go on to do worse and worse. You can show on the calendar of Donald Trump's life that after he paid off Stormy Daniels, he did indeed go on to do worse and worse and worse. And after Michael Cohen was prosecuted during the Trump presidency for those crimes, and Donald Trump never faced any consequences, no censure from the Congress, no impeachment process over that issue, he then went on to do worse and worse and worse things involving blackmail with Ukraine, and then, of course, the January 6th insurrection.
There's nothing worse that you can do regarding someone who has no ethical compass than lead them to believe that they will never be held accountable. And this has been the problem with Donald Trump. He has lied his entire life, but now those lies have enormous consequences. And if it should be that he gets the impression, or that others in positions of responsibility get the impression that by virtue of their position, they can lie with impunity, they can lie about hush money payments, they can lie about the retention of classified documents, they can lie about coercing a nation to smear your opponent, they can lie about elections and cause violent attacks on the Capitol. There's just no end to it. There has to be accountability. We in the January 6th committee tried to bring about accountability to the degree Congress can, but if there's going to be justice, that's going to have to be delivered by prosecutors.
Congressman Adam Schiff, thank you very much for joining us again tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you. And coming up, how is Donald Trump feeling tonight as prosecutors close in on him? The only Trump who publicly tells the truth about Donald Trump, Donald Trump's niece, Mary Trump, will join us next.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
One of Donald Trump's lawyers said today that Donald Trump is sad.
You talk to Mr. Trump every day, maybe multiple times a day. How does he feel? What is he telling you about the DA's case?
I think this is another day for the president.
Is he scared? Is he worried about this case?
No, he's not scared. No.
It's a state of mind.
He's sad by what's going on.
Trump lawyer Alina Haba just told us that Donald Trump is not scared. He is sad. And like everyone who works for Donald Trump, she lies for Donald Trump. So we have no idea if he is sad. Your guess about how Donald Trump is feeling is probably more accurate than what anyone who works for Donald Trump says about how Donald Trump is feeling. The New York Times, which always has an easy time penetrating Trump world to get unnamed Trump sources to talk about Donald Trump, always makes the mistake, frequently makes the mistake, I should say, of believing them, as the New York Times does in what they think is their breaking news report of the night under a headline about Donald Trump's magical thinking. The first sentence is, Donald J. Trump claims he is ready for his perp walk. Now, that's the correct way to report that line. We don't know if he is ready, but he claims he is ready. Too often, the New York Times and others fall into eliminating that distinction. And later in the same article, the Times reports his aides view the pending indictment and the potential for more to come as an asset for the campaign. You have no idea what his aides think. That line should say his aides claim the pending indictment and the potential for more to come are an asset for the campaign. That's a big difference. And as I said, everyone who works for Donald Trump lies for Donald Trump. And so when Donald Trump's unnamed aides tell the New York Times whatever they tell the New York Times, the Times should always report it as the aides saying that or claiming that, instead of the New York Times fully falling for the Trump world line and reporting it as if it's a fact. No one who is willing to talk publicly about Donald Trump has a better insight into how he really thinks and what he really feels than our next guest. Joining us now is Mary Trump, clinical psychologist and niece of Donald Trump. She is the host of the podcast, The Mary Trump Show, and author of The Reckoning, Our Nation's Trauma and Finding a Way to Heal. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. I have been wondering about you. I have been wondering what you have been wondering about your uncle and what you suppose he's feeling tonight with his lawyers in Washington living under a midnight deadline to try to get their way in the documents case, and with Alvin Bragg in Manhattan as close to an indictment as apparently any of the prosecutors are.
Well, Lawrence, first of all, it's great to be with you. And you're talking about these quotes from people near Donald to allegedly spend a lot of time with him. There's always such a disconnect between what they claim and what I know can possibly be true. So I think, first of all, the emotion of sadness is not in Donald's arsenal. What he's feeling, to the extent that he's feeling anything, is self-pity. And that makes sense. He's also feeling grievance, but he feels aggrieved every time he walks into the Mar-a-Lago dining room and his paid patrons don't pay him sufficient homage, right? So none of this is new. And he has such a limited range that it doesn't, the fact that they keep asking the people in his inner circle about his state of mind is fascinating, because as you just pointed out, they never tell the truth about it. Particularly fascinating is this idea that he is seizing this as an opportunity, that he is happy about the so-called perp walk. Now, don't get me wrong. I think it is much more likely that we see that he turn himself in, so to speak, than that he dig in his heels and, you know, stay at Mar-a-Lago waiting to be arrested. But that's because he's a coward, not because he's trying to make a brave stand against anything.
You said something that I find so interesting clinically, from your position, your professional perspective on your uncle, and then your personal perspective on him. And that is that he cannot feel sad. And I'm reviewing every human being I've ever known, and I don't think I've ever been around someone in that condition. What is that condition?
Well, again, I try to avoid any diagnostic labels, but this is somebody who has such serious psychological problems. He has such serious psychopathologies that the range of emotion that is available to most relatively stable people is not available to him. I think Donald's emotional makeup consists mostly of anger and the self-pity I spoke about earlier, and deep, deep fear. And a lot of that is in the service of making sure he never feels humiliated.
You know, I'm realizing now I've never asked you this, and I guess we're going to squeeze in a commercial break to come back to this, because I'm now wondering how much your uncle and the experience of your uncle Donald, how much of a role that played in your choice to pursue work as a clinical psychologist. You have a couple of minutes to think about that. We're going to squeeze in a commercial break. We're going to be right back with Mary Trump.
He's like, wow, you are special. You remind me of my daughter. You know, he's like, you're smart, beautiful, and a woman to be reckoned with. And I like you. I like you.
And Mary Trump is back with us. We'll come back to Stormy in a moment, but let's go with the cliffhanger I left us with at the commercial break. And that is, was your exposure growing up to this kind of one of the weirdest men in the world, part of what sent you down the road to study clinical psychology?
You know, Lawrence, if you had asked me at the time, I would have said no, which is superficially and structurally in some ways true. However, when I started having to excavate my family history in order to write my first book, which is in large part about the relationship between my grandfather and his two oldest sons, I realized that unconsciously, I probably did make the choice to study clinical psychology because of my experience, not just because of my experience in my family, because of certain patterns I recognized. And one of them continues to this day, and you and Congressman Schiff alluded to it, and it's that Donald, because of what a weak, unaccomplished person he is, and because of his psychological inability to reckon with any of that, needs to destroy anybody who is superior to him, needs to undermine any institutions that he feels hold him back. And of course, his very first victim was my dad. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and you've written about that movingly. Have you heard Stormy Daniels say anything? It was years ago that 60 Minutes interview came out. But have you heard anything from her where you think, no, especially her description of in the room with Donald, where you think, no, he would never do that. He'd never say that.
Oh, I there is absolutely no reason in my view not to take her account very seriously. In fact, just watching that clip, she has his gestures down, the pointing, and I've heard interviews in which she says he called her Honey Bunch, which was the term of endearment in my family. And whenever I hear her say it, it sends chills down my spine. So I find her very credible.
I can imagine. How do you suppose your Uncle Donald is feeling tonight after he called for mass protests, presumably all over the country, and the biggest Trump-based protest we have had since then is today in Manhattan, and it's protesters demanding that Donald Trump be indicted by all of the prosecutors who were investigating him?
Yeah, that was a beautiful thing to see, I have to say. It's very hard to tell with Donald. He's so defended against any information that doesn't align with his perception of things. So if he were to allow himself to see what was going on, clearly he's probably furious. But it's still early days. And quite honestly, I was never really worried about New York because it's New York. And the NYPD is on top of this. He doesn't have a lot of support there. I'm much, much, much more worried about the kinds of stochastic terrorism he's engaged in the past. And the less he's able to get crowds to do his bidding, as he did it on January 6th, the more likely he is to get desperate and try to incite the kinds of more isolated violence. And what's worrisome about that is that it could happen anywhere in the country.
Yeah. The last time he asked for a big protest, he got the violent mob, Trump mob attacking the Capitol. Now he's getting nothing. And I mean nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, listen, I think there is, it's very difficult to make the case that his getting indicted for having paid money to a porn actor he had an affair with outside of marriage in order to keep her quiet so that none of the American people would know that he was cheating on his wife who had just had a baby. It's very hard to make the case that that has anything to do with the future of American democracy.
Mary Trump, telling us the inside as no one else could. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. We always appreciate it.
Thank you, Lawrence.
We'll be right back. Mary Trump gets tonight's last word.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.